Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast.
And we just recorded the best stinger ever.
Yep. A show that happens twice a week, where two to three. Just three.
I was waiting for three, friends.
Where three old guys talk about old games, interesting games, because it's Other Shit Monday.
Just games.
All the other shit that's not on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games.
But this is old shit.
This is reasonably old shit. So cheap, so old, it's extremely cheap on Steam. That's how you know it's been, it's at least like 3 years old.
It's reached the threshold.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This week, we're talking about Bastion. And to bring Bastion in, a man that I loaned my Xbox to, and that's how he found this and fell in love with this game, Jacob York.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jacob, of Wolf Fighting fame.
Hey, that's me. That's who I am.
How many wolves have you killed on the way over here?
Zero, but that's because they know my reputation.
You have an aura?
I actually did hit one in my car. I feel really bad about it.
That wasn't a fight.
I think the Rangers are after me because it was endangered.
That explains your new hood ornament. That's disgusting.
It's, well, they have to know. But yeah, no, and I'm so happy that you loaned me your Xbox and that I, on a lark, decided to play Bastion because I think I sent you a text message that day and just said, I have fallen in love with this game. It's so great. But I'm sure that you guys have stories to tell. I'm already talking about the
how much we hated Bastion.
No, I don't.
You guys have, but that's part of the podcast.
Well, I forgot.
Well, yeah. Jacob, I'm your beard host, Tyler.
Yeah.
And I had one story and then I also thought of another one.
Tell them both.
We were recording, so I'm going to tell both.
Awesome.
The first one was before we had started recording, we were still had the mics on and we're talking. Even though all three of us are conscious that we are not recording, we're still leaning forward to speaking to the mics and getting our voice on. So it just reminded me, because nothing was being recorded, even as a singer. So it was just nonsense. Reminded me of when I was little. I had so many story ideas. It was taking too long to sit and write them down.
Uh-huh.
So my solution to keep all these awesome stories I had in my head, I recorded a cassette tape of me just telling the stories. Oh, that way they were narrated.
I would know
how I meant at the time. And like I had a lot. My neighbor, he used to write the stories and we'd play this character out in the yard. He was bullied a lot growing up. So this was like fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so he created the character Big Kid. And it was about like a wimpy kid who was always picked on, whose superpower was to turn into a big kid and defend other people from other bullies. And
man,
that
just kind of made my heart like crumple just a little bit.
Right? Oh,
I feel bad for this guy. Is he okay now?
Yeah. He likes the show. I don't know if he listens, but he likes us on Facebook.
Well, hey, then he's cool in my book.
Yeah, we love you, man.
We love you, big kid.
But then whenever he started telling me about this and we'd play in the yard, then he introduced, like, you make a character. And I'm just like, on the fly, super young, cowboy kid. I don't like Westerns. I've never liked Westerns.
Was that a decision you immediately regretted or did you just roll with it?
Because then for the rest of the year, I continued to be a cowboy kid. Like, I'd have to put on a bandana and then I carried on a rope.
I couldn't
like lasso or anything. I just had a rope that I would just occasionally like just unspool and then collect again. That's my power.
What could you have used to like have covered it up? Like, no, I didn't say cowboy kid. I said,
there's nothing.
Yeah, you're done, right?
What rhymes with cowboy?
You've got no wiggle room.
Power boy?
I said power boy.
But even say, it's a stupid name, power boy kid.
Yeah, whatever, cowboy kid. Get out there and throw your fucking lasso.
So usually we go up on adventures together, big kid and cowboy kid. And
what was big kid's power?
Like, you turn into the big kid.
But what's big kid's power?
Oh, he's just bigger than the bullies.
Oh.
I love how disappointed you are. He's like the shittiest Shazam ever.
It was gritty Breaking Bad style stuff we were working this.
Street level so crime.
It wasn't too powerful. It couldn't be too powerful.
Frank Miller's cowboy kid.
By the power of Big Kid, I become a bigger kid. Garth Ennis.
So I remember I had a solo adventure about Cowboy Kid. I decided,
Man, I forgot you were recording these.
So I grabbed my cassette tape, hit record, and I went through, hours. I did the front and the back of the tape.
Oh, man.
I forgot to actually, make sure the record function was working.
No.
So I was just in a room, just talking emphatically for, 4 hours. I don't know what my parents were thinking when I took a towel and a clothespin and went into the bedroom and locked my door and I just talked for hours and then got very upset.
Although, if it makes you feel any better with your adult eyes, I think each side of a tape is only 45 minutes. I think.
That was an eternity when I was a kid then.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. The intro's only been 6 minutes long, and it feels like we've been recording for a very long time. So I even still understand that feeling.
I'm so bummed that doesn't exist.
I know.
For the sole reason that we can never play it on this show, because I want that so bad.
I have a lot of my old radio shows that I recorded. I don't have any, old-time radio sort of, stories about the adventures of Cowboy Kid. but I do have my old radio shows in... At my mom's house, I know exactly where they are.
What was your radio show?
I mostly did DJ stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would record a song that I liked off of the radio and be and up next we've got the greatest hit by Paula Abdul, Opposites Attract, here we go, Paula! Record.
You're an actor now.
I was trying to closely
practice this.
My voice.
That's how Kids Bop was born.
So yeah, mostly it was stuff, but with interspersed stories and stuff like that. It was like if Lake Wobegon was an actual radio station that played popular music as opposed to bluegrass. That's sort of what it was. Only told
that's
by
how
a 70-year-old woman. Hey everyone! I just wanted to say here in Marshall County things are great right now. Up next, this song by Joe Public.
What's up, internet? Everyone, Tyler's looking at me like I need to tell a story.
There you go. I'm done.
Man.
I can knock like we're playing Magic the Gathering whenever my stories are done.
I do like that's been introduced to our Magic the Gathering playing by Shake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Condoms. I think my dad thought I was having a lot more sex in high school than I was. So he never found any condoms, but
didn't use any. Oh.
No, I didn't use any. I was raw dogging it. But I do remember every time I would go out in high school, I'd be like, I'm going out. And his response was that he thought was hilarious was use a condom. And, I don't know. Is that a dad joke or is that just,
Oh no, I feel like that's probably a dad joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
My dad never said that to me, but I can see where, that's I'm a jovial.
You're not fucking anybody. Yeah, I can talk
right,
about
this.
Gregarious dad, yeah.
You're in band. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. You're safe. We don't have to worry about you.
Otherwise, my tone of voice wouldn't be, use a condom. It'd be, hey, please use a condom.
Whatever you do tonight. Definitely, definitely use a condom.
Put one on now with this bread tie. Just took off the bread and keep it on.
Your mother and I cannot afford to raise a fourth child of yours.
Jacob?
Hey, guys. Hey. I don't have a story.
I didn't either.
I never have a story when I show up. I generally...
Me neither.
Just am like, hey, you guys, I'm here.
That's a segment of the show that I continuously fail at. So you're fine.
What's up, internet?
I'm Dave. Show.
Yeah. But I did. You guys both lose your virginity in high school?
No, I did not.
You didn't? Okay.
I think I'm the only one. You're the only one. Group of friends that did.
Yeah. Look at you.
That's
go.
Male.
Yeah.
Seems like all the girls did.
For some strange reason. That makes me feel a little better. Hey, I'm not as awful at the sex as I thought I was.
And it's not a blanket statement covering any female who's been on the show. I only know the sexual time period of like two of them, so the other, I'm talking about those ones. You just talking about Bastion?
Yeah, we could talk about Bastion. Let's talk about Bastion.
Okay. Let's do it.
Damn.
Everyone's looking at me.
Do you hear that train? Do you hear that?
No, I don't. There's a train? I don't hear it.
It's my dad's looking through my car and finding something in the train. So you got to clean out his car. What is this?
That's the weirdest train.
I'm looking. It's open, and there are only two in here. And the clearly says three latex condoms. My ass, he didn't use one of those.
A lot of people die from that train because no one ever hears it. I do hear that. I believe that's the Dave reads from Wikipedia, father finding the condom in the car train. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Bastion, open parentheses, video game, close parentheses. Mm-hmm. Bastion is an action role-playing video game produced by independent developer Supergiant Games and published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. In the game, the player controls the kid as he moves through floating, fantasy-themed environments and fights enemies of various types. It features a dynamic voiceover from a narrator and is presented as a two-dimensional game with an isometric camera and a hand-painted, colorful art style. Bastion's story follows the kid as he collects special shards of rock to power a structure, the Bastion, in the wake of an apocalyptic calamity. That's a pretty good Wikipedia entry.
Yeah, that's a good one, They are on point.
It's because this game is beloved enough to inspire that kind of Wikipedia entry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike ours that got deleted immediately. Our dad bug
so
Wikipedia entry.
Thank you, attempted wiki lord Paul,
yes,
for trying
you.
To make a wiki for us.
We got rejected fast. We were deemed not culturally significant.
Is that what they said?
That's deep cut, man. That burns. When you're contemplating life the next morning driving into work. I'm just not culturally significant enough for Wikipedia.
So I remember whenever they were talking about doing it, they were like, there are only like 6 video game podcasts on Wikipedia. Why is that? I guess a lot are not. And like half of them were no longer blah, blah, blah.
What if we're their barometer? What if they're like, better than Tadpog, put them up?
Well, that makes us the 8th best video game podcast then. So yeah, awesome.
Right. I like how you think.
So spoilers, I think we all think this game is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I hate to disagree with you guys.
Oh no.
But
so you won't do it.
I can't. So I won't do it. Yeah. I also love this game. So if you like listening when we shit all over a game, then...
Sorry.
Yeah, we got your download. You can go home. You can stop if you want.
But I remember I first heard of this game because I used to get Game Informer every month. You know, something. It's really good to read in the toilet. So I remember... flipping through I immediately go to their game reviews first. Mm-hmm. So I read the back, the front, and the middle.
Break down for us your Game Informer reading experience for us. Game reviews first.
Get it.
Okay.
Go take a shit.
Go to the bathroom.
While you're taking a shit, go to the back of that. Got it. Back of that thing.
The reviews are in the back?
Yep.
Okay. So the back. And then once you're done with the reviews, then where
do you
go?
You go to the front and find out if there's...
letter from the editor.
The art, news, commentary, and then what's going to be in the middle. Then you know if you want to keep going.
Has anyone read a letter to the editor ever?
I have. I don't know if Game Informer, but I used to read...
Or a letter from the editor. I'm sorry.
I used to read EGM's front to back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to subscribe to magazines when I was little. Because
they are evil.
Yep. So if I got one, it was only like one I happened to beg my mom for in the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I would read the letter to the editor because I'd read every word of that because it's all I would
you
have for like
it.
3 or 4 months.
Yeah. And also the same thing for Wizards. I would read Wizards cover to cover.
And that was hard to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. That's actually true. I wouldn't read the price guide.
Oh, man,
I can't believe it's gone up. Archie Comics number 157 went up 10
every
cents.
Single line.
All right. Sebastian was good.
But
next episode.
At the in-game Informer, I saw they gave it an 8.5. So I know, wow, if Game Informer is giving an indie game an 8.5 as opposed to everything that EA
that
posts, they pay perfect tens for.
Yeah.
So I know that's reserved for people that's the pay, bribe us prize.
8.5 equals 10.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you sell enough tins, yeah, that's going to happen, right?
So that's why when I knew what I did that for Bastion and Shadow of the Damned, because they both got like 8.5 and 8.25. So I know that means they're really good games. And this was I bought it for $4.99. Even when it was new, it was cheap on Xbox Live.
On Xbox Live? That's where you first played it?
Mm-hmm. And thank goodness you bought it for Xbox Live, because without you purchasing it, I don't know that I ever would have played it.
Yeah.
Because it never occurred to me to seek it out. I had heard it was good, but, you know, it was kind of like, but I don't know. Do I really want to spend $5 on it? Fuck yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is worth so much more.
Because I beat this in two days. And as soon as I was done, I called Josh. I made Josh come over for 2 days in a row and had him play and beat Bastion. And then I called Kyle. I had Kyle come over for 2 days consecutively and beat Bastion, because I just wanted to share this game with more people.
Yeah.
Did they all like it?
They all liked
it. Yeah.
Meg loved watching it. She said just because the narrator narrating everything and talking you through everything,
Let's talk about the narrator a little bit, because I think the narrator is a super important part of the game. Absolutely. Like, I don't think the game would work without him.
I think it's the most important part of the game.
Yeah. He favorited a tweet that I sent in once.
Really? The voice actor did?
Because I tweeted Supergiant Games after I finished it. I was like, guys, I just want to say thank you very much. This was a wonderful experience. And they replied to it, but some dude I saw, I was on my Twitter feed, and I was like, oh, some guy favorited this. And I clicked on it, and it was like no one that I had ever seen before. And then I read his Twitter bio, and I was like, what? He doesn't look anything like I imagined.
What do you look like?
He's a black dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like a black dude in the game.
He's like
a young black dude. Yeah.
He sounds like an old, like, grizzled white man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I imagined the narrator.
Yeah. His character looks how he sounds.
Yeah.
In game.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
So that's what you think of.
So it's such great work on his part. You know, to create a character that is that full and clear what he is.
That would be he would be a cool guy to talk to, because like that has, like, what I'm curious about is how much of that character did he create versus what he was given? Like, I really want to know what Supergiant gave him to go on. Like, what was the direction like?
Exactly. In the same way that, like, how the narrator has so much, I just played Stanley Parable.
Nice.
Day before yesterday. And the effect that the narrator has on that game and setting the tone of that game.
They definitely,
I think it's so similar to this. I think it's so similar to Bastion, about how if it's just, of course, so with the Stanley Parable, but with Bastion, if it's just the game that is in front of you, it's still a good game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the depth of feeling like they're right there with you every step of the way. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's amazing how they married the narrator and the music and the art direction, like, all together to create the tone. Like, they all reinforce one another. Mm-hmm. Like, this game just feels, this is going to sound silly, but this game feels crafted, you know? Yeah. It feels like very well thought through, and they had a very distinct feeling that they wanted this game to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they nailed it. And like the game, it just feels like a confident indie game.
Well, and the world that they craft too, you know, insofar as the damn it. For those who did not tune into the ActRaiser episode, I noted that I say that way too much. But the world that they create with all of the various jobs and the weapons of each job and Zia and Zulf and all, it's just a very, very full, you don't see a lot of, they don't reveal a lot of the world to you, but you feel like you get a sense of like, oh wow, this is a full history.
You discover it.
Yeah.
And that's, I forgot about the lore, but like they're really careful with their lore too. And like,
The Breakers and the Thrashers and this.
It's crazy because the game has a lore and you discover it, and like all the jobs are like old cultures that no longer exist in the world because of the calamity.
And on top of that, it's the only game that I can think of that I have played and enjoyed the sort of horde mode, because they give you a reason to try. They give you a reason where they basically say, you know, we're sending 20 waves of enemies after you, and you will get a little bit more about this person's story after each wave. Mm-hmm. So the only way that you can get through the entirety of the story and see everything that we've made for you is if you get to the end of Horde mode, which is a side mission. You don't have to do it.
It's pretty hard, too.
It is hard. What did you guys think about the challenge level of this game overall?
I always thought it was rather easy overall.
Yeah.
Except for Horde mode and some of the challenges to unlock stuff for your weapon. Some of those were easy. Some of those were really difficult.
Yeah. Jacob, what did you think?
I thought that it was... I actually thought it was pretty perfect. I thought that it was sort of... It kept me moving forward at a good clip, but kept me dying frequently enough that I knew that I couldn't just cakewalk through everything. And it kept me challenged. This is the only game, and maybe this has to do more with my liking of it, but I do feel like it's so perfectly paced because this is the first game that I've ever beaten and then immediately started a new game plus for. I liked it that much.
Other choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted to see what that was like and experience more of the world. I don't know. So I'm deviating a lot from the difficulty comment. So I do think it was just sort of like perfectly paced, perfectly sort of matched, I thought.
What did y'all think about the length of the game?
I wish there'd been more.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be more in this episode.
It's hard to feel like... Sort of like Cowboy Bebop in the same thing. Like, I love Cowboy Bebop. It's like, oh, I wish there was more of it. But at the same time, part of what made it so good was that it told a full story and ended.
Yeah.
So maybe Bastion could be the same way.
Yeah. Until they pulled that whole, hey, we're doing a movie that took place between these two episodes.
Yeah.
Which I actually think is kind of a cool device.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but at the same time, it is kind of like, oh, come on, guys. You ended that.
Yeah.
Maybe make that a period, not an ellipsis.
Well, it's... I do feel like I want to know more about it, but I didn't want to know more about it in this episode. I felt like Bastion did a good job of telling a singular story. I would love to see a sequel.
I would see a prequel about everything that leads up to this cataclysm.
About the calamity.
That's what I thought Transistor was at first.
Which Transistor is the follow-up game by Supergiant Games, right? There hasn't been a game in between.
No,
I don't believe so.
Yeah, just Transistor.
And it's not a sequel, but it's like a spiritual successor. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, it plays similar to Bastion.
Yeah, you said
only there's more. Yeah, there's
you
more.
You played it?
It's more a little bit.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to. I'm trying to save it for when you play it. So then, but it plays similar to Bastion. Only it's more complicated. There's more to do. It's just as much about mechanics as it is about story.
Gotcha. Huh. Which I don't know. I thought that the mechanics in Bastion were they're very straightforward. I like the variation with the different jobs and the different weapons. But I think I would have felt like more to do would be rewarding.
Well, something that I really liked about it was that it felt old school. It insofar as... Oh, my God.
Number two. You said it twice. You're good.
because that's the only difference is that insofar as is just three. My fancy way of saying because. but you...
That, yeah, it's very... It's Jacob.
Yeah, we love you, man.
It's Jacob in a sense.
But you would just have... You just had the two, you know, you could roll and you could move, but it wasn't complicated.
No, it wasn't.
It was very streamlined, and I think that... I don't need it to be more complicated. I don't know if Transistor is more of, you know, because I haven't played it yet, but I haven't been able to see if it's like more of the same, but a little bit more complicated. I don't need it to be more complicated. I love how simple Bastion is. I love how simple it is.
I want to give another like clap, applause for Supergiant Games, just because they seem like such a good company.
Yeah.
I remember there was also a story about a soldier in Afghanistan who he didn't have internet access, but he was desperate to play Bastion because he'd heard some people talk about it and things like that. So he wrote Supergiant Games. So there is one and only one physical copy of Bastion because it's all digital download
everywhere else. Did they just like burn it onto a DVD or something and send it to him or something?
Yeah, they made a disc with art, made it look like a PlayStation game and sent it to him. So if I become like a multimillionaire and I'm like...
Which is definitely going to happen because we do Tadpog.
We're just waiting for this cash cow just to turn over. But if I'm like a multimillionaire in my 70s or 80s, then I'm going to be bidding a lot for this on online auctions because I want that physical copy of Bastion.
If we were to ever sell it. I can't imagine selling something like that.
Because it's one of a kind. It is. Yeah. It's an artifact. So...
Yeah.
The soundtrack is also amazing.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Yeah, the music is really good.
The only thing I can sort of compare this to is, because I don't know anything else sort of in that kind of genre is Firefly, in that it has this futuristic world to it, but everything about it has like Western sensibilities.
Yeah.
So your character is made to kind of, because he has like the covering on part of his face and guns and things like that, and the way the narrator speaks and the way everything's set up with taverns and blacksmith shops. So it evokes a Western feel, but in a very futuristic way. And then the music especially, it has like, I can feel like a Western vibe in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but at the same time, like, it's just amazing, amazing music. And I don't get tired of it.
It's also not like over the top Western either. Cause like everything is like pitch perfect as far as making it just Western enough, just making it feel just Western enough. And then like getting to the point where it would be annoying or very noticeable, and then just dialing it back just a little bit from there, which I think I really respect that, because I think it's easy for developers to just go way overboard instead of being a little more subtle when it's, it seems like respect for their audience.
Yeah.
When they're like, we realize that you're going to get this, so we're not going to go super crazy.
It's one of my top five favorite soundtracks of any video game.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And it's probably the only video game soundtrack of the sort of modern era that I have listened to more than, the only other one that I can think of, like, insofar at...
Number four. I need to bring back the Friends Quiz sound effects.
This is the only one that I've listened to. I think that this is actually the only time that insofar as would be a perfect way. Yes, perfect.
I'm going to count those.
Because it's too. A score. It's a score and not really a soundtrack. Because there are, you know, BioShock has a great soundtrack, Fallout has a great soundtrack, but these are scores made specifically for the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only one that I can think of, even though it wasn't made specifically for the game, but the game was sort of made with these songs in mind, but Braid, it has a sort of similar, you know, wordless appeal to it, that I really appreciate.
I played those games back to back. It was,
oh wow.
It was a good Xbox Live deal.
And then you played Limbo.
It's true. That's very true.
I think those are all, I mean, those are all indie games that have very strong direction as far as, it has strong art direction. Just it runs the gamut as far as like sound, music, and look and feel.
Mm-hmm. Although I did not like Limbo.
No? Why not?
I wanted a lot more of the story. I loved the atmosphere, but I thought that there would be more sort of explained to what has happened to them. And there was never really anything. It was just sort of here, silhouette, silhouette, silhouette. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was so incredibly different than anything.
Very different. Instead of having a platformer that's normally bright and colorful, everything is just silhouetted and very quiet.
Yes.
And like the music is just so like, I had the soundtrack and I played it when I was in my car, and I was expecting like my podcast that I was listening to resume. And then all of a sudden just this like atmospheric kind of like creepy music. And then like, I got that feeling that I got when I was playing with Limbo the first time, where it just kind of like this like tingly feeling where it's like, that game does a really good, that's like Limbo is like a game that Alfred Hitchcock would have developed.
That makes sense.
Because it's just always, the game felt suspenseful all the way through. I was always expecting something to come out and clash against this like tranquil, serene, but dark atmosphere. Yeah. That's a different game. That's Limbo. That's not Bastion. I'm sorry. We're here to talk about Bastion.
Sorry, bringing it back to Bastion.
That's my big.
It'd be very easily for, because of the whole Western thing, to make it look washed out and old as an aesthetic.
Like sepia almost.
But it doesn't do that except for in like recall portions when you're going through like horde mode and you get a memory.
Right.
Then it does that.
Which makes sense because that took place in the past.
And the rest of the colors are very sharp and bright.
Well, it looks like an oil painting almost.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
Like that art direction and the hand-painted backgrounds and they give you enough variance to keep your eye interested and keep your mind interested. I just think it's a very, very pretty game.
Definitely. And these backgrounds, it's funny because like when I was playing this, I couldn't help but think about the painted backgrounds in like Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII, which were just in comparison, just like unnavigatable. Yeah. Because it's like I never had a problem in Bastion.
Yeah.
Just like figuring out what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, and they challenge you a little bit. Like, there's a little bit of a puzzle element in certain areas because you're rebuilding the world. Everywhere that the kid goes, as you're controlling him, he moves forward, and the earth just kind of like shoots up under his feet.
Yeah.
So that's like another like cool aspect because it's almost like reverse Pac-Man. Because like instead of like eating dots, instead of taking away from the level, or like a reverse Dig Dug or something, you're not removing, you're adding to the level as you run. So it's
reverse weird. Castlevania, where you're putting the candles back.
Yeah, it's a reverse maze, and it's just like it feels so good, like it just tickles. I mean, it creates those endorphins, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm doing something, I'm creating.
Well, and two, one of my favorite things to do in any game is. You will win me over if you let me build my own base. You know, it's the Suikoden games are one of my favorite series ever, and it's because
they do it
all the stuff you can do in your castle.
Yeah.
But sort of getting the chance to create your own world in the Bastion and say to yourself, okay, well, I just got this one shard. What do I want? Do I want a blacksmith, or do I want a shrine, or do I want what is important for me to have?
Right.
It's the same reason that I liked ActRaiser, because it gave me the opportunity to sort of, you know, build up the people that were supporting me, however that is.
You're making decisions that change the game.
Exactly.
Like, they change the way the game works for you. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. I love games that give you decision, like they make you make decisions that actually have an impact on how you play the game.
Yeah.
That's why I really like Final Fantasy games that have a job system, because I feel like I get, but to a much lesser degree, because in the end you're going to beat all the monsters anyway. But I like being able to like change and manage the way the mechanics work in the game. And that's like Bastion. If you build certain buildings, you will gain certain abilities. Mm-hmm. And the order that you build them determines the order in which you get these abilities.
Yeah.
And then you can upgrade them too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and they also have the special challenge areas where, you know, it's, shoot this many targets in this amount of time, bronze, silver, gold. And if you get the gold prize, then you get an ability for that corresponding weapon, which is, you know, a great skill-based level up, I think.
Like, you have to go to the blacksmith, and you use the blacksmith to upgrade each weapon. You get to choose between different variations of the weapon to customize it all throughout. But then I think, you can unlock, like, the last level of that without doing the full achievement to get all, like, five choices on your weapon. It's for every single weapon.
The maximized power of that weapon, yeah.
Did you guys play this game? Like, did you get all of the blood out of it that you could?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
no, I didn't either.
I wanted to, but I started to not enjoy it when I was doing the horde modes with the different weapons, because that's when the game finally started to feel repetitive to me. It did not feel repetitive up until that point, but once the narration kind of came out of it and it wasn't at the forefront, I lost interest in it.
I beat it and then went back and beat a new game plus, and each time like beat full, finished all the horde mode stuff.
Wow.
Finished,
did all the challenges on each playthrough. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is awesome. No, I couldn't.
Loved it. I loved it.
Yeah,
and my second playthrough, I'd been talking about it so much, my roommate started watching me, and it became a thing that I could do. Especially during my second playthrough, it was a thing that I could do to keep my hands busy but still stay invested in the conversation.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, really easy to turn it down and just play in front of everyone, because it's so pretty to watch and so easy for me to do at a certain point, you know.
And also, I guess we should talk about the story to talk about the reason why you want to play it again on New Game Plus. Because you start out as just a kid, you wake up, the narrator narrates your actions. As you progress through, meet the narrator and start rebuilding the Bastion. And you periodically, you find the other people in your life that are turned to ash. And as soon as you go up and touch them, they disappear. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically, they think everyone in the world is like that. You know, the kid and the narrator are fine. And then
everyone else is dead.
Everyone's dead. And then you're going through one level and you hear somebody sing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a change, because it's all instrumental until you hear a real person singing right. mm-hmm. really, really well.
Yeah.
So you progress to this level with it slowly getting louder and louder until you find a woman and she's from the other side of the globe where things maybe weren't as bad and some of them survived. So then you find her, take her back to the Bastion.
Well, no, she's from the country that was occupied by the country that the kid is from. Because there's the sort of the red-tinted people, the kid and the narrator, mm-hmm. and then there's the lighter-skinned Zia and Zulf, and I cannot mm-hmm. remember the name of their country, but it's heavily implied that essentially that country is under occupation by, but it's, you know, almost like an occupation that they have accepted.
Mm-hmm. Like been so long kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, like, and spoilers here, clearly, but they're, as you progress through and find items keyed to these people, Zia and Zulf, because you eventually find, then you find a man one day and bring him back to the Bastion. You find items that get more and more of their memories back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find items and stuff that the narrator will have that you can check out, and it tells more about them or about the game in general.
Yeah.
And eventually when you unlock more and more of Zulf's, then he realizes he hates your people and you've done a lot to hurt him, and then he starts getting, then he's not comfortable, then you're not his friend anymore. Mm-hmm. He can't get past it. And then he still wants to take Zia back with you.
Yeah, because and when he ends up leaving, he essentially sets up a trap when one time when you go out and you're trying to find a shard, and he basically tells you that, well, the Bastion is under attack from my people, and you go back and you have to fight your way through Zulf's people.
How mad were you at him at that moment? Was I the only one who was just like, you son of a bitch? Like, I legitimately, yeah. the mm-hmm. game did such a good job of making me feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Like, I had never felt that way about an enemy
yeah.
in a video game until that moment, where it's like, this guy is like personally fucking with
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit to the very end, you guys, and this is obviously we're definitely deep in spoiler territory. So,
to complete the Bastion, you have to go to his country to get more shards, yeah. right?
And you have to go through Zulf in order to get to the very end, and you defeat him. Hopefully, you defeat him, and the game gives you the option. What did you guys do? Did you leave Zulf to die, or did you carry him back with you?
I carried him back.
I carried him back too.
Yeah, I also carried him back. I wonder, but I went into it with full health potions. And I kept wondering, man, I'm getting pretty low. And I would just hit the health potion mm-hmm. just to keep myself on my feet. And there were a couple of times when I was like, if I was almost out of health potions, would I just die? Would my only option be to be like, well, fuck it. Sorry, buddy. You're done.
No, they can't. They can't kill you. I did that.
No,
I let it go, and yeah, you can't be killed.
Well, then,
I wish you could have.
Yeah.
I wish you would have had to actually make it a struggle to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. you had to make sure you had all the health potions. You had to make sure they were really well timed to make it. But no, you don't.
That's sad.
So what happens? You played through it. Tell us. Let's spoil the hell out of this. Like, what's the difference?
I didn't. I saved him both times.
Oh, you saved him both times.
I couldn't do it.
Well, because okay. there's a second big choice
uh-huh.
in that.
But I did make a second different choice there at the end.
Yeah, you can activate the Bastion and either continue the refresh the world to continue with the way it is now, or it has basically a save state
right.
yeah.
back before everything happened. So you can either continue on the path the world has chosen,
mm-hmm.
or you can go back and try to change how things are.
What'd you do?
I let it go. I saved Zulf, and mm-hmm. I let the world go.
Jacob, what'd you do?
My first time through, I chose the stranger's path, the narrator's path, because and flew off on the Bastion to see if there was anyone else alive still in this world.
And I remember somebody had a criticism of the ending that even if you save or don't save Zulf and reset the world, it doesn't matter. Sort of like, you can be like, well, I'm just not going to carry him back, so I'm going to reset the world, like in your new game plus. So it makes the story that's kind of a little bit of a slight, unappetizing thing to think about that, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
this big moment also doesn't matter depending on which ending you chose.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
I mean, that's
just super nitpicking mm-hmm. to sure. find something wrong with a game that's really, really good.
Yeah. And I do think that they expect you to reset the Bastion. I think that they give you enough stuff.
I did. That's what I did.
Yeah. I think that that is sort of the Ryu winning Street Fighter tournament. You know, I think that that is how they ended.
Do you want to know why I did it?
Why?
I did it because I thought the story would make more sense if I did it that way. Because of the way the story begins.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Because I feel like I like that because all of a sudden it kind of makes it the game like a loop and the game just doesn't end.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't know. I did not play it through a second time. So I'm kind of glad to hear that it really doesn't matter a whole lot what you do because when I did choose that option, it was kind of like, well,
yeah,
I wonder. Kind of deal.
Because what, if you reset it, you get an ending of them meeting up again sometime in the past. And then if not, you see, it looks like them flying off together. And whether or not you save Zulf, he'll either be there or not be there.
Oh. But he still looks pissed.
Yeah.
He looks mad to you like a fucking dickhead. You fucking saved me. Fuck you, Zulf.
And now my people hate me because you saved me. Because I'm like the baby bird. You touch it, the mother doesn't want it anymore. So
I don't know why, but that just sounded like a Muppet Babies kind of ending. Where it's just like Gonzo's been kind of a dick this whole episode, but that's cool. We'll let him listen to a story with us.
Fuck you, Gonzo. But remember,
don't ever send your forces to the Bastion again, no, Gonzo.
You better not.
Or we're gonna Game of Thrones style hold some of your chickens hostage in our keep.
See, that reminds me of the really old Donald Duck comics where Donald is a psychopath essentially, and in one of the comics he murders Goofy. Like they're sitting on a pier.
I missed that one.
They're sitting on a pier and Goofy like draws back his fishing pole and a fish comes out and hits Donald on the back of the head. So Donald in turn has to get revenge, grabs an anchor, ties it to Goofy's wrist, throws it overboard, and then when Goofy's hand comes up asking for help, he throws him like, "Oh, I'll help you here, catch this and I'll pull you in," throws him like another anchor. And then just walks away as like the bubbles come up. Like he just straight murdered Goofy for accidentally hitting him with the fish.
Next issue, Goofy was a skeleton.
You just, the entire next episode is like, it becomes like The Killing where they're like dragging the river and they find his body.
I like to think of maybe like it's low tide or something and the a jogger's running by in the morning. And there's just a dog skeleton with clothes on.
Well, this game, it had an achievements.
It did have achievements, so I didn't come up with any.
I didn't either. Something pretty good.
So there you go.
This is only one of two games on my Xbox that I have 100% completed.
Nice.
And the other one is The Walking Dead, because you cannot help but completing it if you complete the game.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but this is the only one that made me feel like, no, I want to get all of the achievements.
Mm-hmm.
Because even games like, you know, BioShock, I don't give a shit about, you know, there are some things I just don't give a shit about getting.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll usually try to get all the achievements, as many as I can on the first playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to really love it to go back. Generally, I just move on. So I have like 70% of most of trophies on my games.
That's how I felt with the Batman Arkham games, like the Riddlers,
all
of his riddles. I was just compelled. I just had to solve all of them.
I had to get the riddles because they did a great job in that game of making him so obnoxious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just like in the best possible way because you just wanted to be like, fuck you, you are not so smart. Uh-huh. Let me show you how smart I am. I am the world's greatest detective, you know?
It was perfect motivation. Like, I think that's one of the ways that that game actually made you feel like Batman is because it's like you have this like step back moment where it's like, holy shit, I'm thinking like Batman.
Yeah.
And I'm not like trying to. I'm just manipulated that way by the game.
My problem with the second game even was that it didn't have... They teased all of this weird stuff with his sort of electronic voice.
Uh-huh.
And I really expected it to be something else. I really expected Riddler to be like a computer, you know, that was like a Deep Blue type computer that the Riddler had developed to try and destroy Batman or something like that. But it just turned out it was Riddler and he had just had a shitty connection.
Bastion. Not Batman. Sorry. Hey, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
You're silhouetted because Meg's lamp that we burned is sitting back behind you now. So it's very difficult for me to even just like read expressions or anything. You're a lot like the kid in Limbo right now. You're just a silhouette and very quiet and jumping from broken motel sign to rooftop.
I'm getting off the white, just kind of coming back where you see my silhouette. What's he saying? Who is he?
But I heard through the microphone you rubbing your beard, and that signals me to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game, Bastion, a beard that summed up how you feel about it and you could pick from any of the beards in the beard zoo, what kind of beard would you give it and why?
I have to give it Morgan Freeman's beard.
Okay.
Because of the iconic narration.
Okay.
That's also like the best narrator for a movie is pretty much Morgan Freeman.
Does Morgan Freeman have a beard?
He does.
He has a beard? How did
I
not know
this? Well, he has a goatee. Is okay. The goatee of Morgan Freeman.
He has facial hair.
Okay. So we're just letting anything go now.
Yeah.
A little bit of facial hair. It's fine. Listen, it's a beard.
The last episode featured gelatin goggles.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. You sold me on Christianity, actually, do that. All of a sudden, everything made sense.
I can eat horses. I'm in.
I can eat horses and pigs.
Thank you, Axe. Tyler, if you were to give this game, I don't know, let's just say a pair of glasses, mm-hmm. pull that at random, what kind of glasses would you give it?
The glasses of H. John Benjamin,
oh.
who I think is the greatest television voice actor.
Oh. Yeah, I love H. John Benjamin. Dr. Katz.
John Benjamin Has a Van, I thought was very
John
good.
John Benjamin Has a Van is great.
Coach Home Gerg Movies.
In Home Movies. Movies.
Home Movies is wonderful, which is a show, by the way, thank you both, because I did not enjoy that show at first. And then I heard both of you say so many good things about it that started watching it, and I watched like all of it, in 3 nights.
Oh, it's so funny.
I think that he's Archer in Archer.
Right.
I think it's probably the big one.
It's the big one, but I think it's the one that I like the least. And I'm not just saying that to be a fucking H. John Benjamin hipster.
You H. John hater? H. John hipster?
Oh, well, Lucy, Daughter of the Devil is the one that like no one has seen.
I have seen
every...
You are the H. John Benjamin hipster.
I forgot about that. Meg and I watched every episode.
Lucy, Daughter of the Devil is
No, I haven't even heard of this.
He's the devil, and he's so good.
Yeah?
And he's got a daughter who just...
He's named Lucy.
Yeah, who just kind of has no interest in being... The Daughter of the Devil and
is dating Jesus.
Yeah, right? who's like a DJ. Jesus has come back to Earth and he's just a DJ.
Okay, Jesus be my DJ.
Yeah,
all right.
It's really, really worth watching.
Okay,
that's where
that was a funny joke, Jacob. Thanks. Man, I sure hope we don't have to cut that out of the show.
but seriously, I'm going to say this. I really don't want it to be on Tadpog. I'm just going to say a thing.
No,
but
please don't say it then.
Well, but there's the thing. I just can't say
you
it.
You know we're going to leave it in.
Please don't
you
leave it.
You know we're going to leave it
it's
in.
It's probably okay.
No, it's not that. No, it's
Is
about.
Is this the thing you told me earlier?
No, it's about no. It's about. I think it's a very funny joke, but I just can't say it. I think that I earned some. I'm like a dad. I think I earned some cool points with Megan Tyrone when during Dragon Con last year we happened. I think it was no, it was during Angry Fags when you came down to see me in Angry Fags, mm-hmm. and we went to a bar across the road, and I was like, oh hey Tyrone, hey this is Amber Nash. She does a voice on Archer. She's
Pam.
Yeah, the voice of Pam. Who is, you know, not, you know, a good friend, but we know each other. She knows who I am.
Yeah.
She follows me on Twitter.
Can we get her on the show? Are you that close with her?
I don't think so.
I have two disgusting friends that would like for you to come on their show, and I don't know. They're probably going to talk about their dicks for a while. That sounds like something you'd be cool with, right?
right, Amber? I don't think so. I don't think I'm close enough with her.
Mm.
I know.
That's the closest connection we had to getting a celebrity on the show.
But I got you assigned Tony Shalhoub.
You did. It's awesome. So. Show notes.
So what can you do?
So I've tried. It's not like I haven't tried.
Some people call us. It's Other Shit Monday.
Holy shit.
Is there anything you want to say about Bastion before we go off of that?
It's fucking great.
Yeah, and it's great
absolutely
and it's cheap.
Worth your time and money. I don't care if it's... And you can get it on everything. You can get it on
it was
360.
Just XBLA.
On PlayStation and on Steam. Get it, buy it, play it. Fuck, it's great.
Definitely play this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you haven't, definitely play it. Which, of course, you have, because when we said spoilers earlier, you just ignored
you
it.
Went.
You just went right through it. So
And went to go play it.
Yeah. And then you came back, and then you heard...
You listened to it.
You heard... Well, you didn't hear what we cut out. Sorry about that, but...
You just don't know anybody's story, so it's worth it to get all the characters' stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that's unspoiled for
you.
You
I feel kind of bad, because I didn't, because I got tired of the Horde mode.
That's what I did with the Stanley Parable. I have not played the Stanley Parable until this weekend.
You were overwhelmed by that game to the point you couldn't keep playing it.
You were overwhelmed by it?
Yes.
Like, how so?
It was like, I just put it down... And I think I just turned to Tyrone and said, what a smart motherfucker. Like, the guy who made that game is so smart. And he's so smart that I don't know what he does for a follow-up to it. It's I don't know what the Stanley Parable 2 looks like. That's actually not true. I completely think I do know what the Stanley Parable 2 looks like.
What's that?
It's you send him $30, and then you get the download, and you start the game, and then it's just a link to a video of him playing through the one playthrough of Stanley Parable 2. I think that is the only, like, sort of artistic follow-up that he could do.
It's the creator walking around as Stanley being watched by you on YouTube.
Exactly.
And then the narrator shows up to your house, and while you're watching it, he narrates you watching the video game.
But, like,
then we find out Andy Kaufman's alive.
But, like, as a commentary on nature of sequels in video games, about how I think that there's an argument to be made that you don't want anything interesting, you just want more of the same thing, perhaps even a little bit simpler. So, you know,
then he should do the Stanley Parable 2014 and the Stanley Parable 2015 and make it an annual franchise.
That's funny.
Ubisoft.
But I loved it. Oh my gosh, I loved the Stanley Parable, and I could not continue to play it. The art ending, the 4-hour fucking art ending.
Did you do that?
No.
Okay.
We watched on YouTube.
Yeah. And no one in there, right? But that's what I said to Tyrone after I finished playing. I was like, thank God I don't have this, because I would want to do that.
Oh, I did. That was an impulse that, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's like, because it's so ridiculous what you have to do to get the art ending, it was super easy to be like, for me to be like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah.
But if they had, like, sugarcoated it at all, like, giving it that real MMO treatment where it's like, oh yeah, you're gonna do this for 4 hours. You're gonna do the same thing for 4 hours, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been coded like that, it would have totally been like, all right, I guess I know what I'm doing for 4 hours.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm so impressed with it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
But now you can hear the episode about it.
Yeah, now I can listen to it. Because I walked away from it because I didn't want anything to be spoiled for me. Mm. So.
Well, good. I like that you did that.
Yeah. I did the same thing for, not The World Ends With You.
Which I want to do. We'll do one day.
Yeah.
I don't think you want me to do that one.
It's okay. So we can disagree.
Because that's like a super well-received game that I thought was pretty okay.
I loved it, but I just loved it because I thought it was so different.
It was different. I just got so bored with it because it's like the same backgrounds, and it's like I felt like I was doing the same thing. And when that happened, I hate that in games.
Yeah.
I don't mind grinding, but when it's like a story element that is happening over and over again, I just get so tired.
I understand that.
You made the Bravely Default, so you've gone through
that was it.
You've gone through your Shawshank Redemption shithole pipe.
But see, I don't know. I'll save it for when we talk about The World Ends With You. But I feel Bravely Default is different.
Some people called us.
Some people did call us. They also texted us. The first one we've got in queue is actually a text. It's from 615, who I believe is Archivist.
Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Archivist Corn, I believe. I always say that. It's the same number. So I'm pretty sure.
No one's called it. He hasn't called, so that's not me.
Yeah. He asks, have you guys ever thought of doing a live recording at a convention? A few of the local cons I go to have podcast guests most of the time. It might be a good way to get some visibility. What do you think about that, Tyler? I saved that for the show. I wanted to have this conversation with Dan on the show.
I'm torn on it.
Yeah, I am too.
Because I've listened to episodes that do that, and it's always hard to listen to because
it's different,
the audio
isn't
is so
it?
Bad.
The audio is bad, and like the show seems like almost a different show too. Mm-hmm.
There's more pressure from an audience to try and be funny. And you'll do like I did with Patton Oswalt and just make a dumb, stupid joke and take your picture and walk away. So
so what happens? And like, what happens if we have a show like we did today, which is like not super jokey? It's more just talking about the game. I feel like it's hard to like, it would be hard to craft a Tadpog episode where it's like, look at us. This is what our show normally is, because I don't feel like we have a normal show.
You'll read from Wikipedia, and then we'll just like sit there and our dicks.
That's the other thing. It's gonna be really hard to talk about my dick, and like there's a crowd of people just there, just like staring blankly at me.
I feel like the only way to do it would be to go to a local convention so that hopefully...
So we can have plants?
Yeah, exactly. Like 5 or 6 people would show up that maybe you guys are familiar with that could be like, hey, have some questions so that... Maybe if 6 other people show up, they will also participate. You know
it's
what I mean?
Just a room of 5 people, like just clapping and like smiling, looking at each other. This is really good, isn't it? This is really good. You guys should continue to do this.
Is there a?
So we'll think about it. Our cards.
So yeah, short answer to that, probably not. But hey, I'm flattered that you would ask that. Mm-hmm. That you think that people would show up to see us dog to do this.
If we had 100 call-ins asking us to do it, and those 100 call-ins then went to the same place to see us do it, then we're in.
Yeah, so call us. You have to be individuals also. You can't be one guy and call us 100 times.
The audience has to get together like, okay, well, all...
Hello, I'm a pretty lady who thinks that you guys should do the show.
Well,
hello, I'm a Brit, and I think you got...
I don't know, there's like 100 English people called me from San Francisco and said that we should do the live show.
Like, what's the most centralized location for everybody? Topeka. Okay, well, 100 people have agreed to meet Topeka, Kansas, and we're going to go out there and do a live show.
For TadCon. Tyler and Dave convention.
It's held in, like, state fair grounds. Actually, it's during the state fair.
Yeah, it's just a booth at the state fair right next to the pie-eating contest.
We're just talking about our dicks and games. It's
pie-eating contest, TadPog. Best looking pig.
All right, we got another call. Well, we have an actual call.
Dave, it's Ryan from I Had My Question Played during Link's Awakening fame. So calling with, I don't know, question/combo, combination of maybe comment. Been listening to backlog episodes and just listened to number 10, which was the Super Double Dragon episode. One thing I miss hearing is Mondo. So I guess comment would be, bring back Mondo. Let's find some new flavors or craft some new flavors so we can start having Mondo updates once again. My question derives from that game and your love for Super Dragon Neon, Double Dragon Neon, I think it was called. You talked a lot about how you guys really enjoyed playing that game and it had a lot of throwbacks to other classic games throughout that game itself. So, question being, what game that you guys have played so far, either as a Other Stuff Mondays or a...
Oh, shit Mondays, son. You can curse.
He's probably at work.
Franchise or game, given kind of a makeover or a potential little remake for a modern platform like the PSS, Steam, or Xbox Live. All right. Hashtag more Miller. love to hear another 850 call. As creepy as they are. Always put me in stitches. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yes, thank you very much. That's a good question. And also, man, thanks for going back and listening to the old episodes, even as like tentatively as that like comes out of my mouth, because like I don't even listen to that shit. When it's like, when I think about an episode that's older.
You listened to it already.
No. I mean, I did when it came out of my mouth the first time. But man, thinking about the old episodes, that was pretty choppy. Some pretty choppy stuff.
Yeah. Our first episode.
Have you gone back and re-listened to it?
Not in a while, but I did.
I can't do it.
It was rough.
Oh, I kind of want to do it now. On the way home, I'll listen to it.
Or play it now, and we'll talk about ourselves as we listen to ourselves.
Let's MST3K ourselves while we jerk off. How can we make this more masturbatory?
But a game for it with a modern remake that we've... I mean, if it's one that we haven't already done yet, I'm saying Zelda 2, but...
What kind of modern remake? Let's say Zelda 2. You seem like you're really sold on that.
Mm-hmm.
Why Zelda 2?
Because I feel like people I know people have like kind of set that aside. Oh, that's the different one. I don't even care about that one. But remake it. I mean, keep the same elements. Just give it updated graphics.
So reskin it.
Yeah.
Like, are you thinking you're making it like a 3D Zelda, or are you making it like just like an HD?
An HD remake.
Okay.
HD remake on a handheld. On the DS store.
Yeah.
And that I want to see that.
I'd play that. I think that I would want to see, mainly because I just played it recently, Warcraft 2. I would love to see Warcraft 2 remade, and they pull elements that they've, lore elements that they used in World of Warcraft, and like kind of bring them back in to reinforce Warcraft 2 and give it some really nice 3D graphics that are in the style of what they did with World of Warcraft and all that. I think that would be amazing. I would love to play that, especially with like voice acting and everything. I'd say Warcraft 3, but I feel like Warcraft 3 actually kind of, that's when it really started to have that. Mm-hmm. And I love 2 so much. I want 2 to have that as well.
But if I were to say a game that we've already done, I don't want to drag the question out.
Oh, yeah. I completely just ignored that like circumstance. That's why I gave you Zelda 2 so easy. I was like, no, you love Zelda 2. Yeah, let's sure, do that. Yeah.
Well, see, it's hard. So I think a lot of Super Nintendo games don't need that much of a remake. But Rygar, I'd like to see with more RPG elements, make it a lot faster, make it Metroidvania-esque. Also, I wouldn't mind a big update to ActRaiser to make that like a modern-day like black and white type game.
ActRaiser is my answer, if for no other reason than since I knew that it was released by Enix. As soon as we were done recording, I looked up on my phone to see if there was a version of ActRaiser that was released on iOS. That's how much I wanted to play ActRaiser after that. So, yeah, I think a modern ActRaiser on for $15 on XBLA or on the PlayStation Network, I think would kill. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
I think we haven't gotten to it yet. So once again, I'm going to ignore one constraint of the question, but like Secret of Mana, I think would be cool because that was an action RPG that 3 people could play together at the same time. I think it would be cool if that were done like on the DS, and if someone was nearby, they could have the option of just jumping into your game and being like the second or third player for however long they wanted. Yeah. And then when they leave, the AI just takes control again.
That'd be very fun to play at Dragon Con. Yeah. That's where I get most of my stuff on my DS walking around Dragon Con.
So I'm not gonna answer your question, I guess, at all. Secret of Evermore, maybe. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Ryan. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Hashtag Moore Miller. Come on, man.
I know. I was hoping you were going to respond to that.
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, I thought he said more filler.
No, Moore Miller.
Oh, okay. More filler. Stop talking about games, assholes.
Stop talking about games, assholes. They're talking about assholes.
They're saying Boo Earns.
We're running kind of long. You want to do another call?
Yeah, let's take another one.
Okay.
I'll probably be cutting a lot of shit out, so.
Yeah.
Well, especially that one thing Jacob explicitly told us to cut out.
That's like 5 minutes.
Next call.
What's up, Tadpog? It's Tony. I think it's time for a Tadpog survey. Okay, what do you guys call the area between the testicles and the anus? Do you guys go with taint? Do you call it a grundle? Is it a gooch? Do you guys have your own word for that particular area of the human anatomy? Let me know what you guys think, and I will be listening.
Taint,
definitely. And thank you, Tony, for calling and like bringing us back to our roots. I feel like we've had a lot of like, we were reaching for intelligent conversation in this one, and whether or not we made that, we definitely didn't talk about taint. And this is a golden opportunity to do that. I definitely call it taint. Jacob.
Taint.
Is it a regional thing? Do you think it's a regional thing? I think it is.
Well, grundle is just, that's awful.
Well, and I also think that, I wish that he had not given us examples so that we could have all naturally come to the decision taint. Because what if one of us was like said something completely off the board, like, it's my peach pit.
You know? Well, you know, it's my walnut grove.
Oh, I can't let anyone know that I call it my peach pit. It wasn't in that list of 3 words.
That's my touch from inside, and I come really hard.
it's kind of a long.
Oh, yeah. All right. A taint.
But yeah, taint. 100% taint.
100% taint.
Concentrate.
That's not the juice you want.
Or maybe it is. And if you do, I think that's fine.
Yeah, God bless you.
You gotta chase what you love, man. If it's taint juice, then go for it. Godspeed, friend.
That reminds me of Wet Hot American Summer. Vegetable can. You want to smear mud on your ass? Another H. John Benjamin.
Yeah.
In the can. Then you smear mud on your ass, Gene.
I can suck my own dick. And I do it a lot.
Because we rewatched that the other day. It's hard to get me to sit there and watch a movie, but it's still so good. That I don't get enough Niles in my life anymore since Frasier. Mm-hmm. No more David Hyde Pierce. I think we should take one more. One more call.
You want to do one more?
Yeah, well, we get three.
Let's do it.
Let's do them all.
We got 12.
Okay, well, maybe not all of
it. Yeah, we got a lot. Thanks for everyone who called, by
the
way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is nice to have, like, a whole bunch of calls to go through. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts that ask for calls, and they don't get them. And that makes me sad. But also, like, extremely grateful that we have listeners who are like, yeah, we like the show enough that
we want to participate.
Yeah, we're going to participate and help make the show better. That legitimately makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we first changed the rules and discouraged everybody, before we record, I would send out text messages to friends, be like, hey, call the TikTok and ask something.
Because, yeah, they stopped for a while. Then I felt like a dick because I was like, well, I kind of brought this on us. But hey, I think people have really embraced the whole, like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't leave three messages in a row that continue one another. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Exactly.
Area code 580. Area code 5. Lights is away from New Oklahoma City or Tulsa area.
Hello, can you please help?
Where are you now?
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder.
Where is this guy?
He's in the house.
Where is he going?
He's standing behind
the control of the home.
That was the perfect contemplation.
I know. I couldn't have set that up.
Oh,
and I couldn't have set that up better where it's like, oh, you know, these are really heartwarming and make me feel really good. And then we play that. And then we got that.
It was like I saw Jacob barely make his will save against Phantasmal Killer. Listen to that call.
It was just three guys in a room just like staring at their microphones.
That was awful. You can't put that on the show.
Somebody made that for us.
That was awful.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. That was terrifying.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying. And I can't decide if that, like, it really skates that edge between, like, this is really funny and I need to call somebody to protect my ass.
If for some reason that gets cut out of the episode, but this discussion is still in it, you guys need to know that we just heard something that makes me feel really weird. I don't know who did it. You're obviously very talented, but shit, that shit scares me, and I do not want to friend you on Facebook.
Because it wasn't from the 580 area code, was it?
No, that was from Death Valley.
Oh my God, that's even worse somehow.
Yeah, so
they mentioned Tulsa to throw us off, thinking it's like 580, but Death Valley.
So that means that we've got a Death Valley listener who is a very talented audio engineer for the sound of it.
It's like they were one of those weird people you find in the middle of Fallout, like living in a shack by themselves. Like, there's somebody in Death Valley who I hope is listening to our stuff and making those kind of mixes to send to us.
It also could have been routed through Death Valley, because you told me about...
Yeah, there's an app.
That allows you to route a call. And it might have just been like, where could be the best place to get this weird-ass message from? Yeah. I know. Death Valley. Because it has death. It's super scary. I know.
Or like Hell, Michigan would have also been pretty good.
The only better way is if it would have been like from your phone number.
Oh, yeah. That would have been really good. You know what? That also kind of terrified me because I forgot that I had that in the calls. So like I totally was not expecting it. And as soon as I heard it, it was like, oh, right. The thing that scared me. Because the first time I listened to that, like, I had that moment where, like, I was at work, and I set the phone down, and I, like, looked around to make sure that everything was, like, normal the way that it typically is. Because if there had been, like, one thing, like, slightly off where it's like, oh, I normally have a stapler that's right there, I would have just gone home and, like, locked all the doors.
And I'm sure that the listeners probably heard it and are like, you guys are being pussies. What's your problem?
They're definitely like that.
I don't know. Like, I'm legitimately shaken.
Because, like, Miller being on here for the first 580 trilogy, perfect. Jacob being here for that call, perfect. perfect.
That was awful. I am shaken.
But you have to admire the effort that went into that.
Absolutely. I mean, like, it's...
Oh, is that a part of it?
That's part of it. That's absolutely part of it. It's, like, expertly done mm-hmm. specifically to, like... make me feel like I'm listening to Tool before I really knew what it was like to listen to Tool. You know what I mean?
You know what helps me sleep at night?
What? It does sound like
Tool. Is pretending that all of that audio was just like a grab from like a trailer and then they added the 580 stuff under it. I know that's not the case, but that's what I tell myself to allow the moment where I can lull myself into sleep.
Oh, man.
I've got a shotgun now, by the way. That's not that is not a joke. So
just putting that out there.
I'm just gonna lay that on the table. I'm not saying bring a bigger gun.
I just don't want whoever made that to like contact me. Please just don't contact me because that shit was scary, son.
What's your
like his actor page? Yeah, I was gonna say, then comment with
what's your Twitter
numbers and syllables. Just write. Somebody with an alt, no name, a black picture, just write Wingdings on Jacob's page every day.
I did have a, but yeah, I don't know. In conclusion, that was really scary. I'm probably going to listen to it again after we get off the air just because I...
Never want to sleep again?
We'll turn the lights out and keep everything unplugged in my garage. Oh, and man. You can sleep out here tonight.
You can listen to it through the headphones again.
Oh, that's awful.
You can sleep in this room in Tadpog Annex on that couch with just all these weights and shit around. People could just come in and just drop on you while you're asleep.
I don't like this world.
And that's it. Or like Jacob.
I don't like this
stay
world
stay the night
at all.
In my house.
I bet I could drive home.
Well, thanks for coming on, Jacob.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys.
Because whenever you said, oh, I love Bastion, it's like, that's it. We have to wait for Jacob to do a Bastion episode. I
love Bastion.
And I guess we'll include a link because I know what Paul playing today, he played through, he did a long play of Bastion.
Oh, wow.
And put it up. Nice. So we'll put links to that in there.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So you don't miss the next episode, we should be talking about F-Zero.
Maybe. We've said that before. We've made that promise before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure now it's F-Zero. And then the Monday after that, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll probably figure it out by next Friday when we have to record it. So,
right.
If you like our show and want to help us, just go on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, and write a little blurb about how much you like it. And we'll sweeten the deal further to where if you leave this 5-star written review mm-hmm. and put a game mm-hmm. that you want us to talk about or a special guest host that you want on an episode or maybe you just want to hear some kind of a segment or, yeah, that's it, 5-star review.
Stuff we'll get
happens,
to it.
We'll like it. If you do that, we promise we will get to it.
Eventually. Hey, guys. Like Tyler said, thanks for listening. And it's very, I felt like I kept my energy level at a 4. I really feel like I was about at a 4. Sorry about that. Didn't get very excited. I really like Bastion. I feel like I should have got a lot more excited for it. I don't know.
Highest possible recommendation. Go play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 100%.
Even though we're all very calm.
Yeah, we're just laid back. We're just laid back guys about it. Hey, you might like this game. Check it out. Maybe.
For no real reason. Maybe. We're all just 3 laid back guys.
Yeah. Just laid back. It's fine. Yep. There's absolutely nothing that would explain why.
0 reason.
If you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people on there doing a lot of cool shit. If you've come by and you've liked the page, thank you. We do appreciate it. Sometimes there'll be a little conversation about an episode we've done on the Facebook page, and you wouldn't know it unless you were there. So, I don't know. Check it out. You don't like Facebook? I get it. I don't either, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's there. You might as and you like Tadpog. You made it this far into this episode. You definitely like Tadpog. You owe it to yourself to go to Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize.
You just made Terrence squeal.
I like the sound of that.
Taryn was the drowning bird. This is what she'd sound like. You're welcome, Taryn.
So, I don't know. Tweet at us. Retweet us. We appreciate it. Everyone who's retweeting, thank you very, very much. Our intro song, Jacob.
Yeah.
Is
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
A link to that track
can be found in the show notes.
If here's the real curveball. If someone wants to call us and leave us a voicemail, what phone number would they dial?
270-885-5333.
No.
You had most of the numbers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now that you've like opened your mouth with all these random numbers. I can't all of a sudden
destroy it.
It's like you jammed my signal.
you mean to do it?
You can call us at 270-883-2555.
Yeah. Yeah. So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Is Dave Recording Yes Now podcast.
Yeah, we're recording. You want to start over?
Nope. It's Other Shit Monday.
Let's start over.
You want to get a clean one?
Okay.